folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wannert, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We do love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now we're going to jump right into the news, and this takes us out to Montana, where officials in Glacier National Park say a missing hiker found dead last week was likely killed in a grizzly bear encounter, though the incident remains under investigation. Search and rescue crews discovered the body on May 6th in a densely wooded area about 2.5 miles up the Mount Brown Trail near Lake McDonald. Park officials said the victim's injuries were consistent with a bear attack. The hiker has been identified as 33-year-old Anthony Polio of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. According to local reports, Polio had planned to hike to the Mount Brown Fire Lookout, a steep and remote trail that passes through prime grizzly habitat. As investigators search the area for signs of bear activity, Glacier National Park has temporarily closed trails connected to the Speary Trailhead near Lake McDonald Lodge. The park is home to an estimated 300 grizzly bears. If confirmed, this would be the first fatal grizzly attack in Glacier National Park since 1998. The incident comes just days after another grizzly encounter in Yellowstone National Park, where two brothers were injured but survived an attack near Old Faithful. Yellowstone officials believe that encounter involved a female grizzly protecting her cubs. Park officials continue to remind hikers in bear country to carry bear spray, make noise on trails, and remain alert in areas with limited visibility. Lastly, if planning to hike remote areas like Glacier or Yellowstone National Park, be sure to check their webpages by going to the Trail Status Report page.
Now, you've been in this area, and you never leave the truck without bear spray.
That is absolutely correct.
When you and your family go elk hunting up there.
And just to note on this, I don't have this 100% confirmed, but I have been investigating into this. Apparently, this individual that passed, that was killed by the grizzly in Glacier, he had used bear spray and it did not work.
Well, and I'm assuming that this individual was a seasoned hiker because you said going up to this remote area. So I'm assuming he kind of knew what was happening.
So this individual, he was absolutely a seasoned hiker. He was used to the backcountry. Which helped search and rescue was that actually he had called the day before his dad, he had called his father and had said, I am going to be hiking this 10-mile hike that's in and out. So rescuers knew to go look for him when his father had not heard from him in less than 12 hours or 24 hours. It was somewhere within there that they already were alerted he was missing.
I'm glad you brought that up because going on hikes like that, it is always good to let somebody know where you're at. I've done the complete opposite, which is dumb, which is go on these hikes and not let anybody know where I'm going or how long I'm going to be gone.
And I'm going to jump in with this. When you let somebody know, for example, when you brought up that I've gone elk hunting in grizzly habitat, I always, before we head out, we actually use, not that they are not a sponsor of the show, we use Onyx, and I will open up my Onyx account on Tigger's computer and then use my phone to drop different pins so that he could at least have an idea of where I was
last.
General
vicinity, yeah.
General vicinity. Regardless, remember, this time of year, the grizzly bears, or any bear, in fact, is going to be a little bit more aggressive. We've got cubs involved. And it's always just important to be familiar of what wildlife you might see or encounter while you're out on the trail. Switching gears, we're heading to the southeast part of the United States, where saltwater anglers along the South Atlantic coast are expected to see the longest recreational red snapper seasons in decades after federal fisheries officials approved new state-managed fishing permits for 2026. This is something I've always wanted to do, is go fishing for red snapper. The National Marine Fisheries Service has granted special exemptions to Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North North Carolina, allowing those states to manage recreational red snapper seasons in adjacent federal waters. The move gives state agencies far greater flexibility than the tightly restricted federal seasons that in recent years sometimes lasted only 1 or 2 days. The Trump administration praised the decision as a major win for recreational fishermen. President Donald Trump highlighted the expanded access in a social media post, calling the permits a long-awaited response to complaints from anglers and coastal communities. Red snapper, by the way, are among the most prized offshore sport fish in the South Atlantic, valued both for their fighting ability and their popularity as table fare. Federal regulators sharply limited harvests over the past 2 decades because of concerns about declining populations and overfishing, including complete recreational closures in some years. Many fishermen and state officials have argued those restrictions no longer reflect current fish numbers and have criticized the federal government stock assessments and management approach. Under the new permits, states will collect their own harvest data through mandatory reporting systems, which supporters say could provide more accurate real-time information about red snapper populations. Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina will each offer 2-month recreational seasons from July through August of 2026. Florida will hold multiple shorter openings spread across the year. Daily bag limits will remain low, generally 1 fish per angler per day. State officials say the expanded seasons come with added responsibility. If states can demonstrate reliable harvest monitoring and sustainable management, the permits could extend beyond 2026.
You said you've always wanted to go fishing for red snapper. Why is that? Just because they fight so darn much?
Yes,
or what?
That's why.
Have you ever had red snapper? You did mention that they're kind of a delicacy. Have you ever had it? I haven't.
No, I haven't, because I'm waiting for the time that I actually get to go out and use my angling skills and reel one in.
Oh, Lord,
reel
have
in a
mercy.
Biggin.
Your angling skills. I think the T-Man better just go with you and monitor said angling skills to make sure you get one in the boat. That's all I'm saying, dear.
Before Tigger tells us any fishing stories, I think we're going to take a short break right now. Coming up, Dutch oven cooking. We've got some tips and tricks for you. You're listening to The Ben Show.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House, and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Country Music's Trace Atkins. Live in concert Thursday, May 14th at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana. One of country music's hottest performers with special guests, Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler. Tickets on sale now at buckinghorsesale.com. Trace Atkins with Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, Miles City, Montana. That honky tonk,
the donkey dog. RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the hot seat. I'm saying that because we are going down the road of Dutch oven cooking.
Oh, I see what you did there.
How many of us have maybe thought about giving it a try? Maybe you're a little scared to give it a try. I'm going to be honest. Tigger is who introduced me to Dutch oven cooking. I had never done it before until you came into my life.
And now that you've had Dutch oven cooking, you are a fan.
I am a big fan of it. I actually encourage him to do it. I wish that we weren't under a fire ban so often. Otherwise, I'd have you doing Dutch oven cooking more often.
I would too.
Well, my first thing for you, Tigger, is what is, you think, the number one thing people need to be aware of when they're going and wanting to get into Dutch oven cooking, because it can be a little overwhelming. I'm going to be honest.
Don't let it intimidate you. I mean, don't. They're super easy to use, but the first thing is to buy a really high quality Dutch oven. I have Lodge is the brand's. There's other ones that are out there, but you want to get a really, really high quality Dutch oven to start out with. And keep in mind how actually heavy these things are.
That's true. They are heavy. And before you even use that Dutch oven, you taught me how you have to season it correctly.
You know, they do come seasoned, but I have my own little process that I go through to season the Dutch ovens because I never trust it right out of the box, even though they say they're seasoned and you can start cooking on it, which I recommend. Just start cooking on it. But I always like to season our Dutch ovens, any of our cast iron before we even start using it. And on that note of like, okay, what should we use for recipes? I'm going to say keep it really simple to start out with. You can go on Facebook, and I personally like YouTube because you can see how other people kind of have their little cooking station set up. But something easy like a cobbler is super easy. You're a big fan of my chicken pot pie, which
is
super easy to do something like that. That's where I would say a person needs to start. Don't get so elaborate and get, you know, intimidated. Just start with something real simple.
What I like about Dutch oven cooking is I've realized with these recipes is they're essentially one pot. You're not dirtying a whole lot of dishes. It's just a toss it in one pot is
exactly.
All. And you're good to go.
Super easy. But here's the thing about Dutch oven cooking, and I'm glad you brought just kind of the one pot, is you need to know how to take care of it. And there's got to be kind of that commitment to, okay, here's the process. Like, you never use soap in your Dutch oven, just hot water. Because if you have it seasoned properly, you do not need to use soap. And soap will actually break down that little layer of seasoning. So that's the number one thing. The other one is having the right utensils that you're going to use in said Dutch oven.
That is huge.
Making sure that I like to use wooden spatulas that you aren't going to scratch that seasoning on the bottom. So there's kind of that commitment
to it. Well, and also on that note, the wooden spatulas, the spoons, because you're dealing with hot, something that's in the fire. You want something that's going to stay cool.
Right, exactly. So now let's say you decided to buy your Dutch oven, you made the commitment and you said, okay, I want to get into this. Pick a recipe that's really easy. And which, by the way, you can buy liners for your Dutch oven. You can get some that are aluminum if you want to use that. A lot of times with my cobbler, I'll use parchment paper so you don't get the bottom so dirty, so it's not so much to clean up. But so you're going out camping, right? And you brought your Dutch oven and everybody is really excited. First, I'm going to say, and you mentioned the fire ban, is make sure that when you're going to a certain area, that if you're going to use an open fire and embers, that it's legal, right?
This is a year for checking, all right?
Yeah.
Be fire aware. We're going to put it that way.
And then the other thing is have a backup plan in case it's really, really windy, because so many people run into this when you're cooking with a Dutch oven, or I'm even going to throw griddles under the bus with this one. If you don't have some kind of a windscreen, your heat just dissipates and you can't get that cast iron hot enough or your griddle top hot enough, right? Because we've ran into that before.
Well, what I've been surprised at too is when you're getting that pit ready, maybe you want to call it, or your embers ready, you got to do some planning in your day. This isn't where you're going to start cooking at 6 o'clock and eat by 7. It might take you 2 hours to get your heat to where it needs to be. Is that right,
Tigger?
That
is exactly right. But that's part of the fun of the Dutch oven cooking, at least in my opinion. So if you're using embers that you're going to get going, make sure that you start and you have a lot of embers that are over here ready to use for your Dutch oven, and that you keep on adding wood to said fire pit, because you are going to be surprised how much fuel you are going to need, or if you're using briquettes, how much you're going to actually need, especially if you're outside and there's just a little bit of breeze. That breeze will dissipate that heat. And the key thing is, you know, to have that Dutch oven hot. Now, everybody always asks me, and they a lot of times just throw the Dutch oven on the fire. That's fine. But most recipes in the Dutch oven, it's a rule of thirds that I call it. You want to have 1/3 of your heat on the bottom 2/3 of your heat on top.
Which is why the cover is flat, right?
Exactly.
So the embers can sit on top.
Exactly. And you're going to go through a lot of embers depending upon what you're cooking and what the temperature is outside and all of that. So plan accordingly. Like you said, if it's 5:30 and you want to eat by 6, you ain't going to be eating by 6. It's going to take a little while. So plan ahead. If you're kind of doing this fun Dutch oven, you know, everybody's kind of sitting around the campfire.
So here's some tips that come to my mind, having learned watching Tigger, is, again, you're dealing with something that's extremely hot and you're having to move embers and put them on the lid. So you're going to want to make sure you have a type of shovel that you can kind of scoop that in there.
Yep.
Also, you're going to want a iron to kind of pick up the lid or
the
pick up the
hole. Lifter. Yeah.
Yes, you're going to want one of those, as well as something strong enough to pick up the hole Dutch oven out of the embers. But here's one other tip I recommend, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, is to keep either a pair of leather gloves or welding gloves. I like welding gloves personally.
I didn't even think of that. See, you're paying attention when I'm cooking. Have a good pair of welding gloves that are around as well, because a lot of times you're just grabbing something. But yes, the shovel, the lid lifter, the welding gloves.
Us gals with long hair plan to have your hair tied back because you're bending over a fire.
Right. And when you're prepping all of your food, just like you would at home, get everything kind of ready first and have that plan of how this is going in the Dutch oven if you're making a cobbler or something like that. Just kind of have that plan, because part of the fun is, true or false, watching the person prepare the food.
That's
part of the fun of the whole Dutch oven experience.
Exactly what I was going to say, is that when somebody does Dutch oven cooking for you, it is an experience. It's like if you go to a hibachi and they're sitting there working the grill in front of you. No different is that from Dutch oven cooking. It's an experience. Oh, it's so much fun and it's so good.
The taste is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to say just go out and try it if you haven't done it before. There's a million videos on YouTube that you can watch about it, but just try it and use it just like you would the first time if you get a griddle or something like that. And the more you use your Dutch oven, the better your food is going to taste. That seasoning will just add a nice layer on the bottom, and it'll be one of your favorite items to throw in when you're going camping or whatever.
There you have it. We all have a goal this summer, is we're all going to try Dutch oven cooking.
That would be cool if everybody would say, you know what, we're just going to get on board and we're going to try this. It's a lot of fun.
And if you have a recipe and you are a fellow Dutch oven chef, like I call Tigger, we want to hear about it. Feel free to share your recipes with us. You can send them to our email, bendradioshow@gmail.com. We're going to take a short break, crew. We'll be back with the Bend Show right after this.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy, and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day matched bronc riding events presented by True Vet Solutions. Join us on Sunday, May 17th for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $75,000 purse in honor of the 75th annual Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. In the co-host chair is Jeff Tigger Earhart. It is hard to believe where we're at in the month of May, but yes, next weekend is Memorial Weekend, which is the kickoff to grilling season, kickoff to camping season. By the way, in case you didn't know, May is beef month as well. Now I'm talking about grilling. I'm talking about beef. How many of you are getting hungry?
And during the commercial break, I'd even asked about what we're going to grab for lunch here, because I was thinking food and Dutch ovens and all that. So yeah, now I'm hungry.
Well, I'm bringing this up, so this is your quick reminder if you're trying to get your plans going for next weekend. Now's that time to maybe pull the burger out of the freezer, maybe brown it up and refreeze it to save space and time so you're ready for next weekend. Because get this, if you're hitting the road, according to AAA, they're saying 54 million people are going to be hitting the road this year.
Gosh.
And they expect their average travel distance to be 54 miles from home.
Oh, you're saying 54 million people this upcoming weekend?
Yes.
Memorial weekend?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They're expecting, regardless of the high fuel prices we have going on, as well as higher flights and such, unbelievable amount of people are tired of being home and they are ready to enjoy
a
summer.
Road trip.
Road trip is on their mind. But a lot of us, this got me thinking of, is how many of us are watching those fuel prices and has us maybe re-looking at our budget. What can we afford? Where can we go? Because let's be real, especially if you're pulling a toy hauler to a fifth wheel, a bumper trailer camper, whatever it might be, it gets expensive really
quick. Diesel is expensive.
Yes. So I'm bringing up this idea of kind of, it's not a true staycation, but a lot of folks overlook considering going to their local county or state parks. A lot of times you forget to look at those maps and you're going, oh, wait a second. There's a park right over here and it has camping. And
or maybe you did that as a kid.
Yes.
Right? You did that as a kid and you haven't been back there for 30 years.
Now's the time to grab the kids. They're not going to know none the wiser, especially if there's a little fishing hole that's full of sunnies or bluegills. Again, it's just the idea of a change of pace, right? Get out of the house, dust out the camper.
Not as much travel time, maybe, if it's close.
Correct.
Versus if you were thinking you were going to drive, you know, 6-7 hours to get someplace and drive like the Dickens. Maybe it's only 30 minutes.
There you go.
45 minutes, something like that.
I'm just encouraging you to just look in your backyard, as I always call it, and see what's out there.
Grab that Dutch oven.
Yes.
Grab that, but make sure there's no fire ban.
That's the big
thing. Might
have
to use briquettes.
This year, I'm going to say for the entire camping season, you're going to definitely want to be very vigilant, looking at the websites for campgrounds, calling those campgrounds to find out if there's a fire ban or not.
And I know those smokeless fire pits, they have even addressed those specifically. Mm-hmm. In our county, in fact, there is a burn ban going on, and they even mentioned smokeless fire pits because they've gotten so popular on people's decks. I mean, we have like two or three of them.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. The other thing to be thinking in the back of your mind, we've already seen some crazy weather patterns happening. I'm talking tornadoes in areas that maybe have been earlier than before, areas that have never been struck by tornadoes. Remember, when you go to these big campgrounds, stop and talk to the host. I never thought about this until I was decades into camping, of ever asking them, where's the tornado shelter?
And we needed one last year.
Rig, we did. We literally got caught.
We needed one last year over
situation.
The 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know some people might say, oh, duh. But honestly, there's a lot of folks that don't realize that there are places like a tornado shelter in these campgrounds.
The mustering areas, I think, is what they call them.
100%. And that's where I also follow through with mom, dad, aunt, uncle, friends, whoever you're going with, make sure everybody knows where that location is. Because when something like a tornado comes up, there's no time to think, okay? And if you're at a campground, they might not have a siren system to let you know.
And get off the water.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what is the rule of thumb that if you, when you're on the water, on a boat or kayaking, I'm not sure what that rule of thumb is, but if you see something, it's too late or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what that rule of thumb is, but if you think the weather is going to turn sour, get off of the water.
Tigger, you've learned that from me over the years. We like to visit Lake Sakakawea, which is up in North Dakota. And that is one thing that I always say, if we see it, we're too late to the party. I mean, we are hauling it to get to shore.
Is that what it is? If you see the weather coming in, it's almost too late? I shouldn't say it's too late, but you need to be getting to shore.
It's not too late, but you better be reeling in those rods, packing everybody up, and getting your butt back to the bay.
How many people have been caught?
Storm we were caught in, we ended up helping jet skiers pull up onto shore because they were too late.
Because it came up so fast.
So these are just, I don't know, a few things that I wanted to add as we all get excited for Memorial Weekend. It's our first big camping weekend of the year. Make sure you don't forget the beef. I'm going to throw that out there one more time.
And the Dutch oven.
And the Dutch
beef
oven.
Beef and the Dutch oven.
If you've got photos, be sure to share them with us on Facebook. And that's all for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have, know of something spa-worthy for us to share, or if you have that Dutch oven recipe that Tigger needs to try for me this summer, we want to hear about it. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. As well as if you missed part of the show or want to hear past episodes, you can catch them all on our website, thebendshow.com. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.